Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of the New Shooter Canada podcast. This week, I'm going to talk about my experience at the range so far this month. I've spent a fair bit of time shooting so far this month, and it shows. My groups are becoming consistent and have shrunk down to about fist-size groupings. Let's get the contact information out of the way right quick. The website is www.newshootercanada.ca. Follow the show on Facebook. Between episodes, I often post pro-gun related material as well as range day photos and videos. In the last episode, I said I was going to post up a video, and unfortunately, I still haven't got around to that, so I do apologize. So I'll try and get that video up. It's a couple weeks old now, but I'll try and remember to do that tonight. Also, there's email. I'd love to hear from you, the listener, either via the Facebook page, the website, or if you prefer, by email. And you can do that by emailing host@newshootercanada.ca. Let's fire up the bus and on with the show.
Well, the witness is right and the lawyer's a liar. And the future looks bright like a 4-alarm fire. An old man pictures a robin's egg falling, crushed underfoot as he limps through his last spring.
Hello and welcome back. This episode, I want to talk about my experience so far at the range with my pistols as far as my sight picture and trigger control. So this episode is primarily going to be about trigger control and sight picture. Now, this is basically going to be my experience so far and what I've discovered. It's not going to be an actual in-depth of what each of those are. This episode I'm going to be speaking about my experience and sharing my experience at the range with you, the new shooter, so that you can learn from some of the things that I've done wrong and perhaps enlighten you as far as some of the things that I've kind of discovered on my own thus far. So let's get started with that. So far this year, I've been out pretty much every weekend. I didn't make it out this weekend, but I've been out pretty much every weekend so far this year. Now, one thing about me is when I shoot, I'm a right-handed person by nature. I do everything right-handed, except for some sports. I shoot left-handed in hockey, and I shoot left-handed. Now, the reason why I shoot left-handed is because I'm left-eye dominant. And when I'm shooting a rifle, I can't do it off my right shoulder because I can't get my left eye over far enough to get a proper sight picture. So I shoot off my left shoulder. What I was finding when I was shooting my 22 was my groups were always to the right of the target. And it drove me nuts. And I could never figure out why. I would adjust the sight picture, I would adjust where on my shoulder it was, my positioning, breathing, taking really spaced out shots, focusing, and anything I did never seemed to have a permanent fix to why I was always shooting to the right. The reason why I bring that up is this past month, I've really been spending a lot of time shooting my pistols. And one thing I've noticed with my pistols is I'm always shooting to the left, which made absolutely no sense to me. I was dumbfounded. My rifle, I'm always shooting and it's always to the right. Now suddenly I'm shooting pistols and it's always to the left. Now I'm not naturally an analytical type of person, and I like to sit down, look at something, focus, analyze it, and find out how things work and why things are the way they are and what causes them to be the way they are. I excelled in mathematics. I went into computers in college, and so I'm a very, very numbers-oriented type of guy. And that just seems to be how my brain works. So when I saw this, it made no sense. How can a rifle be shooting to the right all the time and my pistol suddenly is now shooting to the left? What are the common denominators? What is going on here that could be causing this? And so while my pistols were sitting on the bench at the firing line, I'm just holding my hand out in front of me as if I was gripping the pistol, and I'm just moving my finger in the motion as if I was pulling the trigger. Now, when I was shooting, I would have the trigger in the space where the first knuckle is, and that's where I would put the trigger, and that's where I'd pull it. Now, if you're sitting there listening, and you hold your hand out, and you make that motion, one thing you'll notice is there's left to right movement if you're using your left hand. Now, extend that out into, if you're pulling the trigger and shooting a rifle, and your finger is moving from the left to the right while you're pulling the trigger, what's going to happen to the gun? It's going to go, you're pushing it to the right. So where are your shots going to go? They're going to go to the right. Well, when I shoot my pistols, because I'm right-handed, I shoot right-handed with my pistols, because I got the pistol out in front of me far enough that I can use my left eye and there's no issues. I don't have to be trying to tilt my head or move my head much. I just hold the gun straight out and, you know, I can get my sight picture quite quickly and easily. So I'm using my right hand. So once I saw that, I kind of went, that's interesting. So I put my right hand out and I make the same movement. And lo and behold, your finger's going to be naturally moving towards the left, pushing the trigger to the left, hence your shots are going left. Now, for me, this was like, you know, Moses parting the seas. It was just a great big light bulb just went on in my head and went, oh my goodness, something so simple makes so much sense. And I couldn't believe how simple something, and or how small something like that was, and how much difference it made. In the show notes, I'm going to post up a picture, or not a picture, my target from, this one was from a few weeks ago, when I first discovered this. And what you'll notice is it's, the target is a hostage scenario type target. And you'll see the main grouping is to the left of the head. And then you'll notice that I've got three headshots, and then there's a small grouping right by the neck where that was my light bulb moment. I moved my finger, moved the trigger out of that space and over to my fingertip, and now being conscious of this left to right movement, I focused more and I was able to get my shots on target. Now, the poor lady's hair did take a hit, and I got a few flyers down and out of the main grouping area, but you can still see how it changed, because it's very clear on to the right of the head there's a great big, like you can see, there's a great big gaping hole where all my shots were hitting, and then all of a sudden, you know, I've got a grouping that's right around his neck, and then three headshots and one on the edge of the head. And it was like a light bulb came on. So I wanted to share that experience this week with you, the listener, the new shooter. And perhaps, you know, if you're not a new shooter and you kind of already know this, it might be something, it's something worthwhile hearing anyways, since, you know, sometimes we get complacent and we get kind of used to, yeah, well, I know that, you know, so, you know, you just kind of naturally assume that it's common knowledge, so everyone would know that. Well, when you're brand new to something, especially if you don't have any mentors or anyone helping you or teaching you, there is no common knowledge. That's one thing I've noticed, and that's why I've done this podcast, is that something as simple and basic as that to the experienced shooter, that, you know, everyone knows that, well, you know, unless you're in that type of environment and you have those type of people around you, you know, in Canada, the gun culture isn't part of our culture. It's so there's a lot of people getting into it that, you know, they've taken their PAL course and that's all the knowledge and experience they've ever had. And then they're being sent out to ranges or gun stores to buy guns and then off to the ranges. And, you know, those PAL courses are useful, but they really basically teach you how not to shoot yourself or others at the gun range. They're, you don't even get to shoot a firearm by taking that course, which makes absolutely no sense. So you get dry fire practice, but even that's pretty limited. So I wanted to share that with the listeners. And like I said, it was quite an eye-opening moment for me. And it really kind of brought a lot of things that I've heard on other podcasts to light. You know, you always hear trigger control. Okay, well, what does that mean? You know, so I got a lot of work to do as far as learning my trigger and such. And so now my next goal is to continue working on like trigger control, working on getting my shots centered up and really kind of learning that trigger. And yeah, so like I said, it was quite an eye-opening experience for me. Now, one other thing I want to touch on before I move on to the hoodies that I posted some pictures up on the Facebook page, so and made a comment that I was going to discuss those at the end of the episode. But before I get to that, looks like it's going to be, I'm around the 13 minute mark, so it looks like it's going to be a shorter show this week. Like I said, I want to go back to this trigger thing one more time. There's a lot more, I'm certain there's a lot more to this than what I've just been able to experience. So I'm going to start doing some research and some YouTubing and get my Google Foo out. And I'm going to try to learn as much as I can and do a more in-depth episode on trigger control, what it means, what you should be doing, the do's and don'ts, some of the bad habits that you know, new shooters might fall into. And I'm going to do a more in-depth episode on that, and then bring some knowledge from people that are far more knowledgeable than me, and really do a good show on the trigger. And you know, one of the terms I've heard in the past is slapping the trigger. You know, I'm not really sure what exactly that is. I have a pretty good idea of what it means, probably by like jerking the trigger. Or, you know, you're supposed to just gently squeeze the trigger. Again, that's something I got to work on because I've got a bad habit of not doing that. I'm a bit jerky on the trigger. Again, all these sorts of things are things we got to learn and practice and practice and practice. And the more you practice, the better you get. So I'm going to do a more focused show, but I want to get a little more knowledgeable on that topic before I do a whole show on it. So that, with that being said, I want to move on to one other thing that I've heard quite a bit about, and I had another kind of light bulb moment, and that is when you hear people say, look at your front sight. You hold your pistol out in front of you, you set up your sight picture, so you get your sights lined up, you get the front sight in between the notch of the back sight, and you're told, look at your front sight. Okay, that's what I was doing. But what I was doing wrong, and I've never heard this mentioned on previous podcasts, and it wasn't until I took my ATT course that the instructor had said, look at your front sight. But what you want to do is you want to focus on your front sight. You don't want to just look at it. You want to focus on your front sight and let the target go blurry. Now what this does, and this is what it did for me, is it really forces you to keep that sight picture and that sight alignment all together. You can still see your target, you still can see what you're shooting at, So it's not like you're shooting blindly. You know, the targets we shoot at are, you know, they're the ringed targets. So you got the, in the center, you got the, I think it's like a six inch black circle and goes out to a 12 inch circle. You got the center 6 inches. And then I think the outside is 12 inches and you got the rings. It's like the X ring and then the 9, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 until you get to the outer edge or something like that. Anyways, you can still see your target. And like I've been shooting at zombie targets. I try to bring out different things that are kind of just to change it up. I don't mind shooting at paper, but you know, it's still kind of nice to, you know, just the ring targets can get a little boring. So, you know, I'll bring out zombie targets sometimes, or my kids like shooting at gnomes, pictures of gnomes and stuff like that. So, you know, you can still, when you focus on that front sight and you let the target go blurry, you can still see the target and you can still see it well enough that you can see and aim at what you're shooting at, but you're focused on that front sight. And by focusing on that front sight, it keeps your alignment and your sight picture right front and center. And that was between that and the trigger, learning the little thing about moving my finger in the trigger guard has allowed me to actually start hitting center of the target. I was so happy when I found this out. I generally always bring my 22. I don't always shoot it, but I generally bring it. First thing I did was I got to test this. I got my pistol shooting where I'm aiming it now. It's not shooting to the right anymore. Well, it's still kind of to the right a little bit, but it's much closer to point of aim than previously. So I want to try this with my rifle, because my rifle was always shooting right. No matter what I did, it was always shooting right. I've got, just by making those two, really focusing on that front sight and moving my finger within the trigger guard, so I was using the tip of my finger. I loaded 10 rounds into the 22, and just shooting offhand, which is shooting standing up, I just plinked off, it's a semi-auto, so I just plinked off 10 rounds fairly quickly, not rapid fire, but I wasn't putting a lot of effort into really focusing on follow-ups, and I just basically put it up and plink, 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 you know, one shot per second type of thing. And just putting not really a whole lot of effort into it, just kind of, you know, just basically just plunking really. And just with kind of a half-assed effort, my shots had moved to the center. I had a great big group because I wasn't putting effort into a small group. But I just wanted to see where, regardless of how large the group was, I wanted to see where the group was showing up on the target. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. It moved to the center. And it was like 4-inch group, 5-inch group or something. It was like, they were kind of all over the place. But you could see that the group had moved. And just by doing those two things, focus on that front sight and use the tip of your finger. Now, I believe on Canadian Reload Radio, I don't know what episode it was, but it was one of their more recent ones. Or it might have even been back in the fall of 2011. Trevor and Andy were talking about this subject, and I can't remember exactly what their conclusion was. I believe they were discussing this, and I don't think there was really any real conclusion. It was more just a discussion. I think one shot one way, one shot the other way, and it didn't really seem like there was really any concrete, this is the correct way, this isn't the correct way. You know, perhaps there was and I missed it. So for me, this works beautifully for me. This may not work for everybody. This may, you know, who knows, maybe the proper technique is to use that space between the first knuckle. I don't know. Like I said, this episode is purely just my own experience with what I've done in the past 3 weeks, and it's worked. And it's not only did it work that day, but it is something that is repeatable and has become consistent. So therefore, I'm fairly confident to say that what I'm doing now is the correct thing to be doing. Again, you know, if you're using your fingertip and you're finding you're not hitting center and then you move it in, I don't know, maybe something like that might work. And like I said, I haven't done a lot of research on this. I'm just purely speaking from my own experience. So I want to, that's one of the things I want to follow up on in a future show, is really kind of go in depth into trigger and proper techniques, and some of the, you know, maybe there's different techniques for that some people use, and, you know, just kind of dive in and just see what there is as far as that is concerned. So that's going to do it for this show. Like I said, it was just a bit of a shorter show this week, and I just wanted to get that, those two main points out there, because they, like I said, they've really improved my shooting, just those two things. So with that being said, I want to move on briefly to some hoodies. For those that may not be aware, I drive for a courier company, and one of my customers is an embroidery shop. Actually, back that up. Another customer that I delivered to is actually a graphics company. So what I did was I took my logo in and had them digitize it. I think that's the term. I don't know. Whatever. They made it into like an actual proper file format that can be used to do silk screening and other stuff. And once that was done, I made a delivery to an embroidery shop and was talking to the lady there and was asking her some questions and that. She's like, oh yeah, sure. So I emailed her the design or the logo, and that was just before Christmas. They shut down for Christmas holidays. I come back to, or they come back, she emails me back, yep, we can do it. So I thought, you know, I'd like some shirts. You know, I see the Canadian Reload Radio guys, and if you guys are listening, we would like shirts. Do another shirt run. We want shirts. The people want shirts. Anyways, you know, all their pitchers are always wearing their shirts, and so I wanted to do something like that for myself. You know, right now it's hoodies because it's cold outside, and, you know, it can get to the point where if it's, you know, around 0 degrees plus 5, you know, a hoodie is pretty sufficient enough to be out when you're shooting. So this will give me, you know, range clothing, basically. I just want something where I can wear out to the range, or, you know, wear every day, but mostly it was for wearing to the range, and it was going to be shirts. Actually, I do have one shirt that I did on a website. Problem is, it's too cold to be shooting in a t-shirt, so that's what gave me the idea for the hoodies. Why am I saying all this, and why, you know, why should you care? Well, on the Facebook page, I had a listener ask about getting one, and I wasn't really kind of expecting that, so I'm very flattered. Thank you, Brian, for that. And so what I what I decided to do is I'm going to take the lead from the Canadian Reload boys, and any sales from the hoodies, I'm going to, I'll have to cover my cost, but the price is going to include shipping within Canada, and so anything above and beyond the cost, the actual cost of the hoodie and the cost of shipping, all that, I guess that's the proceeds or the profits, or I don't know, whatever you want to call it, is I'm going to donate all of that to Ian Thompson's legal defense. Now, I don't know how many people are going to be interested in buying them. I guess supplier, for lack of a better term, but the lady that does my shirts, it's two shirt minimum, or two hoodie, or two pieces of whatever minimum order. So all I need is just basically two orders. I drive by her place pretty much every day. I can just swing in, and or I can even call her or email her and say, hey, listen, I need a hoodie, gray, or if you want the blue, this size. One thing I do recommend is going with a larger, one size larger. I generally wear an extra large, and when I was in her store, I tried one on, or I tried a double X, double XL on, and it fit. That's what I'm wearing right now. And it fits comfortably. It's loose. It's not terribly tight. It's not too baggy. So if I'd gotten the extra large, it would have been actually too small. It would have been pretty tight. So if you're getting a hoodie, I'd recommend getting one size larger. So, and there's the two colors that I've purchased. I think if I've got her website linked on my Facebook page, New Shooter Canada on Facebook. And I believe if you go to their website, you can see their catalog, and I think there's different colors and such there. But anyways, like I said, I've got the two colors. I'm going to be putting the pictures up on, they're already on Facebook. I'll be adding them to the show notes for this episode. So let me see, did I cover? I'm just winging this one. I don't have any show notes. I didn't write anything in my show notes about this. I think I covered everything. Oh, the price. Oh my goodness. Jeez, I would have closed the show, listened to it on Monday, and gone, oh my goodness, you dummy, you forgot the price. Price for the hoodies are going to be $55, and like I said, that's going to include shipping within Canada. Now, I do get a good number of American downloads, so if any of you guys down in the States are interested, fire off an email, either you can email me at host@newshootercanada.ca, or you can get a hold of me through Facebook or whatever. And if you are interested, your price is going to be a little bit different, and that's only going to be because of shipping. You know, that's I don't know what to say. I just couldn't account for shipping everywhere else, because, you know, who knows, I might get like two orders. You know, whatever. So, I've got my hosting service. I prepaid my hosting services for 2 years. My domains are paid up for a year. So I don't need to be raising any money to cover costs or anything. So I figured I'd take the lead of the CRR guys. And if there's enough people interested, you know, if we can get 4, 5, 6 of them sold, you know, 10 sold, who knows? You know, it's not a whole lot of money, but it'll be, you know, it'll be a little bit of something. And, you know, if I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know exactly how these things work. So I'm going on a bit of a kind of an educated guess. But if the Crown doesn't appeal and this ruling stands, I would think that this would become, I think they call it case law. So anyone in the future that is in a similar situation, their lawyer can say, hey, look, you know, this has happened before, it's been ruled on, and this was the judge's findings, we expect the same. I think that's case law. Anyways, if that's the case, you know, Ian Thompson, he was fighting for his own freedoms as well, but, you know, we all could very well be benefiting from this, his decision to fight this and not just roll over and take a plea out or, you know, whatever was offered and such. So, you know, I feel a bit obligated that I should also be contributing in some ways to help out. You know, I know times are tough, so, you know, I think this is a pretty good way. If, you know, if you're in the market for a hoodie or, you know, clothing or something, you know, you're helping out, you'll be helping out Ian, but you'll also be getting something for your efforts as well. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win for everyone involved. So, like I said, I have no idea what kind of demand there's going to be. I wasn't really expecting it. So, if there are folks out there that are interested, that's the deal, I guess. It'll be order for the hoodies. Now, once the spring comes, I'm, for myself personally, I'll be purchasing shirts. Again, the whole point was so I had something to wear at the range, right? So that's not going to change. I'm still going to be getting my own shirts. But I haven't really looked into those prices, because that's like, we're talking March, April, before you're going to be wearing t-shirts at the range. So, you know, that's kind of the deal there. So for the hoodies anyways, I would recommend ordering one size. Oh, I guess I should tell you how to order these too. Jeez. Good thing I'm organized here. All right, let's run through this real quick. Jeez, I'm up to the 30-minute mark now, and I'm kind of rambling. Okay. Order one size larger than what you would normally wear. So if you wear an extra large, I would recommend ordering a double XL. That's what I did. Fits beautifully. They come in gray and blue. And the price is going to be $55, and that includes shipping within Canada. And all the money raised or all the proceeds. I got to obviously cover the cost of the hoodie and the shipping. So all the money above and beyond that will be donated to Mr. Thompson and his to go towards his legal defense fund or legal defense bill or whatever it's called. And how to order them. Best way, I check my email 2-3 times a day, and that email address is host@newshootercanada.ca. I'm on Facebook. Just do a search for New Shooter Canada in the Facebook search bar, and you'll find our Facebook page. And the website, you can get a hold of me through the website as well, newshootercanada.ca. And yeah, just fire off an email to me. Let me know what size you want, what color you want, and I guess how do you pay for it? I don't have a PayPal account set up for the podcast because, like I said, this wasn't my goal for this, or my wasn't what I want. Like, this wasn't something that I had planned on. So email me, and then what I'll do is I'll email you back. If I don't have PayPal set up by time you email me, I'll email you back an email address to send your PayPal payment to, and then that way it'll still get to me. The turnaround time, because she's got to order the hoodies in, you're looking at probably about 2 weeks for me to get them, and then once I get them, then I'll mail them out the next day, or if I'm able to, I can even possibly, if I'm driving by a post office, mail them out the same day type of thing. But within a couple business days. So you're looking at, 2 weeks for me to get the order, and then however long it takes to get to your address. So you're probably looking at about 3 weeks. And I need at least two orders to place my order. Otherwise, the embroidery costs are a couple dollars or a buck or something more if I just do one piece. If I do two or more pieces, it's a cheaper rate. So, again, it'll be the $55 and the proceeds go to Mr. Thompson. So, with that being said, I think I'm going to draw this to a close. We're just over the half hour mark, and I don't think I'm going to do a whole lot of editing this episode because I've pretty much taken care of most of my gaffes already. So until next time, keep your barrel pointed downrange and smoking. Cheers, guys.
Some girl who's in seat.